Well, good morning, everybody.
Happy Sunday to all. A joy to be here, of course, in the house of God. And a joy to come to Jesus, which is what we do at every Mass. And as I was thinking about our gospel today that we have at this Mass, this is a different gospel than the gospel at all the other Masses this weekend, because the 10:30 Mass, we have RCIA, the prayers after the homily, and they are kind of tied in with this gospel. But the rest of the Masses, we have the story of the prodigal son. And really, maybe all of the stories that we read in the Gospels, the parables, but also the miracles that Jesus worked, it's all about the power of the Lord that is unleashed when we go to Him. When we go. Here in our Gospel, it really doesn't always matter how you get there. The prodigal son, in his own kind of spot, he reaches that place of desperation and he realizes that here I am eating on the swine and have nothing here. And kind of in this place of desperation, he goes to the father. He goes to his father, and maybe he was hungry. Maybe maybe he actually felt repentance in his heart. Maybe he was just dying of starvation. But he goes to the father, and the father embraces him. Our gospel in this Mass, we see this man born blind, and his friends take him to the Lord. And so maybe it doesn't even always matter how we get there, but life changes when we are in the presence of the Lord. That's what maybe all of the gospels are about. How the miraculous power of grace that happens when we are in the presence of God. It's all about coming to Jesus. There's a really great song by a guy named Chris Rice, and I just wanted to read it real quick to you. It's called Come to Jesus. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side and fly to Jesus. It's this beautiful song about what happens when we go to Jesus. And today is Rejoice Sunday, Laetare Sunday. As I told the kids, one of two times where I have to wear pink. And it's an interesting day. And I always have thought about, like, how it's important that we rejoice, you know? But this weekend I was thinking about how God rejoices. God rejoices when we go to Him. God rejoices. That prodigal son, the father rejoices, has been looking out, waiting for his lost son to come back. And then he finally comes and he runs out to greet him and embraces his son. Jesus rejoices when this man born blind is brought to him. And Jesus then works the miracle and provides sight. God rejoices when we come into his presence. Now, we Catholics have a particular way of going to God's presence, and it's called the Eucharist. We Catholics believe firmly with every part of our souls, every fiber of our being, we believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. You are never alone because you always have the Eucharist. We believe that. We believe that the Eucharist, consecrated at every Mass around the world, every single day, there's always a Mass going on, and that bread becomes the body of Jesus, and the Eucharist is the continuation of the incarnation of Jesus. That means that the incarnation, what we celebrate at Christmas time, that God becomes one of us, flesh and bone like us. That the Eucharist is the way that that is continued until the second coming. It fulfills Jesus' promise when he says, I will be with you always, even until the end of time. I will be with you. It fulfills the very title of Jesus, Emmanuel, which means I am with you. It fulfills John the Baptist. We hear this at every Mass. I say, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. That is it. When we behold the Eucharist, we answer John the Baptist's call to behold Jesus. Jesus is fully present in the Eucharist, and he rejoices when we come to Mass. He rejoices when we go to adoration to adore him. And so I want to just share with you real quick a little update about our Adoration Chapel and the plans that we have. An Adoration Chapel is very important because it is a place, a sacred place of perpetual prayer, where 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's always at least one person, hopefully two, in there praying in front of our Eucharistic Lord. They're going before the same Jesus that works all these miracles, the same Jesus that rejoices all of the time when our ancestors in the faith would go to him, the same Jesus that gives us power and transforms us when we go into his presence. That Jesus waits in an adoration chapel for you and for me. And we are going to be having one here. And maybe you've heard a little bit about this, and I just wanted to bring everybody up to speed and let you know how it's going. So when I came here on July 5th, 2017, within the first week I met a very holy woman, and I said, I met her, and she says, Father, when are we opening an adoration chapel? And I looked at her, and I said, well, I don't know. I'm Father Mike, by the way. And she's probably asked me 30 or 40 times since then. But then some other people had been starting to ask about it too. And then we had a new parishioner, and I always like to chat with them. And he joined maybe about a half a year ago. And when I was meeting with him, he says, you know, I feel it on my heart that Jesus brought me here to help open an adoration chapel. And I thought, oh, okay, well, there's another sign from the Lord. I'm paying attention to signs, you know. And so then I thought, well, I don't know, I'll call the bishop. So I emailed the bishop and I said, you know, this is what's going on, and I think we could do it. I know smaller parishes that have them, and we've got this parish. We also got St. Vincent. I think it could happen. And the archbishop writes me back, and he says, you know, I looked up in the file, and it turns out you're not the first priest to request a chapel at St. Joseph. There was a priest by the name of Father Aaron in 2015 who had requested the same thing. And I said, well, there's another sign from the Lord. And he says Cardinal Tobin approved it, contingent on a few things. But then I think with the moves and all the stuff, you know, that it just kind of fell through. Well, I find it funny because the very same place that I had in mind for the chapel was the space that Father Aaron had in mind for the chapel. And I didn't even know that until I sent this whole thing over. So anyway, Archbishop Thompson says, write up a proposal, numbers of everything, and then. So then I did that, and he gave me his blessing to move forward. Ours will be the 14th Perpetual Adoration Chapel in the Archdiocese, which is really amazing. An absolute gift to everybody. And it's going to be, if you're looking at the office building, so you got the basketball court, and then on the left, the office building. On the very north side of that, on closest to the basketball court, there's a separate door going into a certain space. And that used to be my office when I first got here, but that is now going to be the chapel. It has a separate door, and it's got a bathroom in there, it's got a little lobby area, and then what will be the chapel. And Jesus will be there 24/7. And we will all take turns with the hours, and we have plenty of time to kind of do all that stuff. We're going to, there's a committee that's been formed of parishioners and so on, and we're kind of doing all the planning there. And We have plenty of time, but there's going to be, I don't know, like, you know, like there'll be an open house, there'll be orientation meetings, we'll have two sign-up weekends during Mass for people, and then we'll fill all the hours that way. And I have great faith that it's not going to be too hard. Here's the deal. Why do we do it? Why does the church have these? It's because we got to go to Jesus. And it's important to have a space, a sacred place, solely for prayer with Jesus. And when we're in front of Jesus, our life will change. We will be transformed in the most magnificent way. Listen to what Pope Francis says. He does the Holy Hour in front of the Eucharist every day. And he says, one cannot know the Lord Jesus without being in the habit of adoring him in adoration. Then he says, to waste time, if I may say it, before the Lord, before the mystery of Jesus Christ, to adore in adoration, there in silence in front of Jesus, in the silence of adoration, he is the Lord and I adore him. Absolutely beautiful. He does his Holy Hour every night at 7 o'clock. And yes, in the eyes of the world, maybe it is wasting time to pray. Maybe it is wasting time in the eyes of the world. But to us, of people of faith, it's the most important thing ever, because prayer changes everything. Jesus works miracles whenever we kneel before him. You see that happening all of the time in the Gospels. You see the power of friendship with Jesus. And this will be the most wonderful way that we will fulfill his invitation to spend or to watch 1 hour. He says that in the Gospel, watch 1 hour, and we'll do it. Jesus loves us enough to be fully present to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he will be here in this chapel. And it's kind of the transformation that happens there is really, really important. It's kind of like we seep in the divine. I always think about it kind of like going onto the beach, and it doesn't matter really what you're doing on the beach. You're going to get a tan or a burn if you're unfortunate, you know. But you will be different. But we seep in the light that is Jesus, which our second reading was about. We seep in the Lord, and you get a tan. You can't help but. So some people in adoration, they'll pray a rosary. Some people, they read the scriptures. Some people, they just sit there. Some people fall asleep. Some people do whatever. But you're in front of Jesus, and things will be different. On the other side of it. This is important also because it allows it. Did you hear that first reading? How beautiful. When David is commissioned, he's anointed king, and the scripture says the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And that's exactly what happens in the chapel, is that the presence of Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord, rushes upon us, and we absorb divinity. We absorb just in the same way that we would absorb the rays of sun out on the beach. We go into that cave of silence, and then we hear. I took a group of young men to the seminary the other day, and just for a dinner and with the seminarians and all that. And one of the seminarians got up and he talked and he said, I heard Jesus call me to the priesthood in front of when I was in adoration. It changes everything. It's a game changer for a parish, I promise you. And it will be a game changer for your family life. It will be a game changer for this whole city, the whole county, whatever. But it will change every bloody thing. And it's going to be the most wonderful thing. You know, people, I picked up a random survey, you know. We've had almost 200, thank you for doing them. And I picked up a random one, and somebody had said something about, I just wish I knew what Father's vision was. And I don't know, but I guess if it may sound stupid, it may sound trite, but my vision is that we all love Jesus, you know, and it may sound overly simple, but I just want everybody to love Jesus, because if we love Jesus, everything falls into place. Everything falls into place when we follow him, when we love him with everything, not just like, oh, a rote little routine, whatever. When we are in front of him, everything changes. And when we love him, everything changes. That's my mission for this parish. In everything, as long as I'm your pastor, that's all. Everything that I do is going to be about that. How does this thing help us to love the Lord? Because then everything else falls into place. Anyway, it will be handicap accessible. It the committee discerned with the Lord that we should call it the Divine Mercy Chapel. And it'll be opened on the Feast of Corpus Christi, which is the day that the church around the world celebrates the Eucharist, and which is June 23rd, and we'll open it at the hour of Divine Mercy, which is 3:00 in the afternoon. So much more to come in the next couple months and all that, but I just kind of wanted to bring everybody up to speed on it. And listen, this is what's cool. When we go to Jesus, he rejoices. And he'll be rejoicing in Shelby County 24/7 until the second coming. And that ought to give us joy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.